Hello and welcome to another edition of the How to Grow Your E-commerce Business podcast. I'm here with Dan from Dacity, and we're going to talk about how consumer brands can get a holistic view of cross-channel performance. So, Dan, that's a little bit of a mouthful. What is it you actually do?
Yeah, hi, Trevor. So glad to be here. What we do at Dacity is we're essentially an analytics platform for consumer brands. And what we try to do is connect to all of your sales channels, all of your marketing channels, your email, SMS, bring that into a central data warehouse, transform that data into models or basically ways that you're going to want to do analytics and provide that analytics to you.
Okay. So do you do like do you have standard reports that you give people, or is it literally, you know, you give people the data and then they go onto another platform to do the analysis of it?
We give them standard reports, but really what's incredible about our product is that people can explore the data. So we leverage a lot of Google technology from a visualization that says, I want to go build my own report. So we create data models like lifetime value, and combine that with your customer info. So now you can slice and dice lifetime value by anything that you know about a customer, whether it's where they made their first channel, did they have a discount, what was the first SKU, when did they purchase, anything that you know about a customer, where do they live, have they opened email, yes or no, are they email and SMS? So we give you sort of this power to really slice and dice the data to answer the questions that you have, on top of giving you what we think are the 100 standard reports that you're probably going to want to use on a daily basis.
Okay. So if I've got imagine I'm selling on a Shopify website, Amazon and eBay, right? And I want to get, could I get, because the problem I've always had is getting a review of performance of products across multiple channels. So do you have to kind of look up tables to do that, or? How do you, because you get a different SKU on eBay, a different SKU on Amazon, a different SKU on Shopify.
Yeah, one
of the involved.
The bane of all of our existence, right? If you're in e-commerce, if you're in digital, let's not even call it e-commerce, let's call it digital, because you have, you're both on marketplaces and you've got your own .com. Yeah. Amazon never gives you the SKU. So one of the things that we do is we give you an interface to say, here's my master SKU. Now, for most people, that's going to be Shopify. And what we say is, what is your listing SKU? So in every one of our data models around an item, we're going to have what's the listing SKU and what's the master SKU. Because that's a perfect example of something that is usually really hard in a lot of analytics platforms, which is, I want to look at my Shopify or .com, and I want to look at my marketplace, my Amazon together, and understand sales of the exact same product. And so we help you fix that. We know, and part of this is our history as a company and where we've been and where we came from, is that these are the problems that we encountered very early on or in our past experience that allowed us to build the product like this. And it's something that every brand has to think about. Yeah.
So tell me, it's a good point to ask, how did you get into this?
Yeah, so I ran customer analytics for an e-commerce brand here in the US called Provide Commerce. And nobody had ever heard of it, but it was like a family of brands. And we owned ProFlowers, one of the largest online flower companies in North America, as well as a couple of other brands. It was all around gifting. And we were a $750 million company.
Right,
and so having been there for 8-9 years and sort of having all these challenges, because we did things like we sold on a website and then we started to sell on other people's website, but their SKU couldn't be our SKU. And so many problems that I see brands encounter are things that I've encountered in my personal life or some of our staff. We have one of our senior people worked at Petco, a billion-dollar publicly traded pet brand, pet retailer, and she was the merchandising for, I think, all of pet accessories. And so you take these different skill sets, and it's like, we've lived your pain. And that's really helped us think about our product.
Okay. So what are the big problems that people have in pulling together their data? What causes them?
The biggest challenge is all these disparate sources. So as you think about early on, you know, if I'm a founder and I just started my company, I'm probably just doing it in spreadsheets. And maybe I start on .com, I start my own website. And then at some point I'm like, I need to sell my product on Amazon. You know, I mean, if we think about ourselves as consumers, right? How many of us, the first thing that we do when we think about buying something is open up Amazon and go into the search tool?
Well, at least 50% of us, because I know the figures, at least 50%, if not more.
Exactly. So it kind of says, so automatically you have to be in these two different channels. And the challenge then, if you're in these two different channels, is now if you're living in spreadsheets, you're having to download these spreadsheets, you're in multiple tools, you're trying to combine them all, you're spending what was 5 minutes to an hour to 2 hours. And so that's when you really need to start thinking about reporting tools that allow you to synchronize, that allow you to connect to these different platforms. And that's what we do at Dacity, is we connect to your Shopify, your Amazon, your Meta, your TikTok, whatever you have. We have about 80, 90 different connectors, and we'll go extract that data for you, and not only just extract it, but put it into useful data models, useful reports for you.
Okay. So something like Amazon, the problem that I've seen is that a lot of the kind of connections just one way. So I always found with things like my accounting system that, you know, it would pull the data down from Amazon, but then if there was a refund, it wouldn't reflect that. Is that a problem you solve?
It is. And it's really around making sure that you've connected to all the data sources. So some systems like Shopify are really good. And then some and are generally really good about things like refunds. Amazon's actually really interesting in that they have a very complicated data model. And so in order to understand something like a refund, you can't just always go to the same place. So in Shopify, you can go to an order and it'll tell you this order is placed, it's been canceled, it's been refunded. In Amazon, you actually go get your sales from one place and you go get your refunds from another place, and you have to marry those two together. And right. So it's really important
you're
to find somebody.
Different lines the same. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So it's really important that when you think about something like Amazon, you work with a platform or either you become the expert. That's choice one, right? You become an expert around all the different places to navigate in Amazon, or you have to work with somebody who knows Amazon really well and knows about how you have to look at all the different reports and marry all the reports. And so it becomes really challenging.
Okay. So how do you deal with like minor channels? So, you know, I'm based in the UK. I'm guessing there's some things that I might sell on that you wouldn't have supported. So how would I avoid getting an incomplete picture of my data? Mm-hmm. What would be the solutions for that?
Yeah. So the biggest thing for us, and we recognize this early on, is you're never going to get out. People are going to live in spreadsheets, and there's going to be data that doesn't live in a system. For example, we talked about your Amazon SKU isn't necessarily the same as your Shopify SKU. And there's no system out there that a merchant has that probably tells them what maps to what. So what we did is we said, go fill out this spreadsheet template and just ingest it into our platform. And so we have a number of those types of pre-built templates. And one of them is around other orders for these additional channels, because we have lots of customers that it's, well, I sell in bulk to this one retailer and they just send me an email with kind of the request for an order, and I send them, you know, 1,000 units. As a merchant, you're going to try and do whatever you can to grow your business profitably. And so you may do these one-off things. And so we need the ability to be able to ingest that. So we have templates that we created that say, make it very simple. Follow the structure. We'll ingest it and automatically flows in as if it was just another sales channel that was on a SaaS platform that you connected to.
So how do you know, when does a business know it's time? You know, because, you know, spreadsheets are free. When's a good time to think, God, this isn't working? I need a better solution.
Yeah. I think it's a great question, right? So if you're a brand and you're early on, you're doing, say, less than $1 million, you can probably live in spreadsheets.
Yeah.
As you start to get more sophisticated, these are the types of questions that I ask. One is, how much time are you spending every day going into different systems and pulling all this information together to put into sort of your standard reporting? If it's taking you more than an hour, you need to start looking at tools.
Yeah.
If you're getting close to like over a million line items or orders, right?
That's quite a lot.
I would have thought. Yeah. Well, I think about if you have, once you can't download every single transaction into a spreadsheet, you need to start thinking about, how do you start to use a tool? And the reason is Excel can only handle a million rows, right?
Yeah, it would struggle to deal with that, I think.
Right. So you think about, well, LTV is at the customer level. That means you need to have every order in order to properly calculate LTV.
So LTV, and lifetime value, right, yeah.
Lifetime value, right, lifetime value. So if you can't do that in a spreadsheet, now you need to go into a tool. The other thing that you really want to think about is things like product affinity. What products sell together, or what does a customer place in their buy in their first order and their second order? So that becomes even more complex, because you have to, in order to solve that problem, you need to understand at the customer level, sort of order one to order two. And so around 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 orders, your spreadsheet now starts to break down. And you can't do that.
Yeah, I'd say spreadsheets with more than 10,000 items in them are, yeah, either looking at a computer which begins to go quite slowly, or it's going to crash. And one probably followed by the other, generally.
Exactly.
And followed by tears after that.
Right. So we usually say somewhere in $1 million to $2 million in sort of revenue is where you really want to start looking at a reporting platform. And then if you're starting to sell in more than one channel, if you're starting to go into, you know, a .com and a marketplace, you really want to start thinking about kind of not moving away from the spreadsheets as best you can and going more to a platform, because it's going to free up that time. And that's the killer. The more time that you spend on these, I don't really want to say administrative tasks, right? But really just to sort of understand the health. The less time you are spending thinking about how to grow your business.
Okay. So how would you deal with things like, because the problems I've had, right? So if you've got an affiliate scheme, you're making a sale and the customer's getting a commission and they will give you a separate, you know, it wouldn't show up in Shopify. It'll show up in a separate system. And normally I suspect you probably, I'm sure you integrate with a lot of affiliate networks, but there's quite a lot out there. How would you deal with that kind of, you know, this kind of slightly kind of off record kind of commissions? Is that the kind of thing you can solve?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way you have to think about it is it's two different data sources. You're spot on in that you have to take your order data. And usually in the affiliate, they're going to track and charge you the commission on the order. They've tracked the specific order and they're charging you a commission, almost like a marketing expense. So yes. What you need to do is you need to bring in that data from that affiliate. You need to bring in your order data, and then you marry the two. Now, here's the big question that a merchant needs to think about. Do you think of that as above the line or below the line? And what I mean about that is, are you thinking about it as a marketing expense because it's kind of coming from this affiliate network that is a marketing platform in some shape or form? Or do you think of it as a non-marketing expense that's going to go below the line that you might put into G&A or sort of operations? That's a decision that you're going to have to make as a merchant. But the key is that you can take these two data sources and merge them together to track that cost.
You put it like, so here's another problem, right, that I've had. So if you've got, there's always a difference between what you think you're paying and what you are paying. And then, you know, what I wanted to do was try, because I built a great big spreadsheet to do this. I wanted to try and get a picture of the profitability of each order at the order level. So what I did is I pulled in the data from, so I had my sales system, and then I pulled in the, you know, because you can kind of estimate costs. So you can say, okay, I know that Amazon, you know, charges, I think that Amazon's charging me 15.3% for this order. And I think that the postage cost is this. And I think that, you know, the VAT's this and whatever, right? VAT, value added tax. But then what you don't get if you do that is you don't get, if your assumptions are wrong, then, you know, you could be losing money that you don't think that you're not realizing. So what I tried to do is I said, okay, I've got an order. I'm going to pull in the Amazon order data. I'm going to download a spreadsheet of my courier data, and I'm going to match that against orders. So I actually get the actual data, which is the actual charges. Is that something that your system, you know, so I get an actual real figure at the end of it. Is that something your system can do?
Yes. So we connect to all those data sources. Not only that, we can also add in the marketing cost. Now, that brings up a huge question around what is the marketing cost, right? Because that's going to be based upon your attribution and how you want to decide on how to allocate your marketing spend to orders. But if you think about all these different things, right? So take Amazon, for example. Now, you can't necessarily, the best place to get your profitability from Amazon is the settlement report. Yeah. And usually you get that about 7 days later. But that has all the costs for every single item, for every single order and item in your sales. So we can marry that to all of your sales and you suddenly get your profitability. On your .com side, if we connect to your marketing platforms, we can do the same. We can take in and we'll use that attribution. We connect, as you said, to your logistics, maybe your 3PL. Not only do they have your courier fees, but they may also supply your pick, pack, and fulfillment costs because you're paying for that. And so generally what I'd say is if it lives in a spreadsheet somewhere, the likelihood that you're going to be able to ingest that data in some shape or form, and it may take a little bit of work, but to ingest that data is something that's doable. And that what that does is it leads to exactly what you've said, which is understanding unit profitability, because that is, for most of us, what now we have to focus on.
Well, yeah, because
I always find change, it, right?
Can you get, okay, so could you go down to the level? I mean, in a perfect world, right, you would understand you know, you'd have a bank account with the amount of bank money coming into it, right? And then you've got your sales and you'd be able to say, okay, and the whole thing would marry up. Is that achievable? Do we live in that world?
I think it's doable, but I don't know that there is enough value there. Because the bank account is also going to incorporate things like rent and salaries that you have for all your staff.
I'll rephrase that. You know, so you get a remittance from Amazon, right? At so everything adds up. So you get a remittance from Amazon, a remittance from eBay, and you can say, okay, these orders, you know, tally up Right, maybe the bank account's not the right thing, but certainly the remittance.
So I'll say,
understand the remittance level.
You're on the right path, right? So you think about your remittance from Shopify or from Amazon. You want to be able to tie that out because really, that's really about your unit profitability or sort of the net profit you're making outside of your overhead.
Yeah.
And that's super, if you, in order to grow your business, you know, for us, for anybody that, that raise capital or has investors, and there's a lot of brands out there, 2022 is grow at all costs. 2023 was you need to be profitable. And 2024 is probably still you need to be profitable. So you need to have this view of take out the rent and sort of the G&A and those types of things. If your product, if just selling your product from a marketing operational expense, right? So shipping and fulfillment, if you're not making money there, you have a fundamental problem. You have a fundamental problem. And so the key is, can you go understand that across many different slices within a reporting platform? Certainly within ours, you have that capability. And that's something that you absolutely need to do, because that allows me to make choices around things like, where should I spend my dollars, my marketing dollars? Where am I profitable, unprofitable? Where am I, what sales channels am I profitable or not profitable? You know, your Amazon, you're going to get a different margin on Amazon than Shopify, but you might decide I need to be on Amazon because, you know, 50% of customers search on Amazon. Exactly. And it's something that we did very much. So if I go back to my e-commerce days, so being in the flower business, everybody has a mom. So what we knew is on Valentine's Day, when we were trying to get new customers for Valentine's Day, we were willing to lose a little bit of money because we knew that over 50% of those new customers would come back 2 months later in the US for Mother's Day.
Okay.
But at Mother's Day, we weren't willing to lose money because when's the next event to sell flowers in a big way? Valentine's Day next year. And really what you're doing was reacquiring a customer. Okay. And so that's interesting, right? Like if you're that sophisticated, so we're hugely sophisticated around making those decisions. The only way to do that is really with really good analytics, but then it allows you to sort of think about how you're operating the business. So I think you're spot on, right? It's this, can you measure essentially kind of like a gross profit is probably the, or maybe a contribution margin, I think is what some people call it. Yeah,
contribution margin, wouldn't it? So how do you, Amazon is quite easy, but forgetting about the Amazon advertising, you've got, you know, your, you know, cost of goods or whatever, and then you've got your commission and you can kind of work it all out, right? How would you, but on Shopify, you know, you might be doing, you might be doing use Google Ads, and then you might also have an affiliate, and you could, how would you, you know, you've got these kind of cross-channel conversions and you've got different marketing, you know, which could be contributing to the sale. How do you work that out?
Yeah. So there's two, let's talk about the two main components, right? So let's do the simpler one first, which is about logistics, which is really about the fulfillment side. So most people are using a 3PL, some sort of third party logistics to do your warehouse. So all you need from them is generally a feed that says, here at the order level is what I'm doing for pick to my fulfillment costs and my shipping costs. And they should be able to provide you that information. So you allocate that straight at the order level. The marketing one becomes a little bit more interesting. And it's not that it's hard. You know, mathematically, it's actually quite simple. It's what do you want to do? So do you want to think about last touch? Do you want to think about first touch? Just do it even, right? So you can think about, so if you have Google, take Google GA4, Google Analytics 4. If you go and implement the BigQuery export, so if you go have that and you turn on the BigQuery export, in that data set that Google is giving you is for every order, every single touch point that created that order. And you know your marketing spend, And so you can kind of go mathematically figure out what is the last touch and what day did it happen and allocate that spend. You could say, go to the first day and sort of allocate that spend. You could divide it evenly. You could just evenly allocate your marketing spend to every order. It's the choice is yours. And the challenge is that there's no right answer.
Yeah.
Everybody wants what's the right answer. There is no right answer. They're all wrong in some ways. You just have to choose for you which one is less wrong and which one is more indicative of being the right answer.
Okay. So are there any problems that you, what can't you do? What is a, you know, in 2024 still really hard?
Yeah. So we just talked about attribution. Like that, I think, is the one that everybody wants the solution. And I think we're never going to get there, because the things that we can't capture with data are things like you and I having a discussion now, you know. And if I said, hey, what's your favorite new product that you recently bought? There is no system out there that is going to capture whatever you tell me. And if I go, that's cool, I'm going to go check it out, they're going to think, you know, that this was a result of search, not, well, I was talking to my friend Trevor and Trevor told me I should go check this out. And then I decided to buy it. And so I think that's something where there's this kind of yearning for it. And no matter what, we're never going to solve
it. People are still fickle. I mean, you come across, there's a director called Werner Herzog, who's one of my favorites. You heard of Werner Herzog? He's great. But he has a concept of ecstatic truth. He's a very aesthetic kind of German. And he talks about ecstatic truth, which is the truth in a situation beyond the mere facts.
And there you go.
I know, I just like that. It just, you know, you can't explain everything with facts.
And exactly. You know, they don't.
So what do you think about, you know, AI is obviously the big thing, right? And it seems to be one of those bandwagons. I've kind of come to a conclusion with bandwagons that I've always been a bit snotty about them. But I think now that the people who jump on them do really well, and you think you need to jump on them while it's still a bandwagon. What opportunities do you see for AI in what you do, and how are you trying to integrate it?
Yeah, for us, I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge going forward. And I think it's really around the maturity of where AI is for things that it can do. So we've learned in the last year, hey, it's really good at helping you test copy. It's really good at helping you sort of generate other images really quickly. What it's getting decent at helping you write code, but you have to be, as you get into more complex and more exact, you have to be very precise. And I'll share kind of an example that I came across, which was an AI system being asked, where should I spend my marketing dollars to improve performance?
Yeah.
That's kind of a very vague question, but that's kind of the question that I could see somebody asking. And it came back and said, well, your Facebook converts less than your Google ads, so you shouldn't spend on Facebook anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to say, that your highest volume was in New York, California, and Texas, which, by the way, are the most populous states in the US.
Right.
And so it's basically saying, spend all your money where the most number of people live. As a marketer, and only go onto and only spend in the channel that is associated with last touch attribution. As a marketer, we know that that's a bad decision.
Right.
And so the challenge for AI, and this is where it needs to go, is it needs to become smarter around the question you're asking and understand how to interpret the data. And I think for us, where we're having to spend time is less on the AI side, but more making sure that the data models are built to allow AI to sit on top of it. And that's our internal side.
It's always fun. I mean, I do think it's something with, you know, there seems to be, AI seems to be being, particularly on LinkedIn, which I unfortunately spend quite a lot of time on, you know, lots of people saying that AI can solve you know, problems like, you know, writing Amazon listings and things like that. And I look at that and I think, you know, you can't expect these things to do be a magic solution for things which you don't know how to do yourself. It's a bit like my experience of hiring people. If I don't know how to do something, because I'm, you know, I try very hard at things, and some problems I completely fail at, and I've hired people to try and fix them, and they couldn't fix it either because it was a really hard problem. And I think that asking AI to do so, to kind of, you know, giving responsibility to these things for AI, and if you can't do it yourself, or if you've got no, is probably, it's a bit kind of shit in, shit out, isn't it, really? You're going to have to give these things.
That's the challenge.
Yeah, that's, you can't expect it to answer, you know, difficult questions that it's not a magic solution. It doesn't have any magic insights.
No. Very true. That's exactly right. And we've kind of been through this before a little bit. This is what's interesting, is it's a different flavor. In the 80s, direct mail was really big. And so there was a lot of statistical models. Wasn't necessarily AI, machine learning. You would have statisticians kind of build other types of models. And it was the same challenge. If you didn't have good data going in, you weren't going to get a good model, and you weren't going to have something come out. The difference is, you don't have to be a data scientist to go build that anymore. You can do it. A non-trained individual can utilize these tools. But if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't know how, what the output you want is, you shouldn't expect good output. So like your examples, if you don't start with a pretty decent product listing, the AI can help you improve it or give you alternatives, but it's not going to do a very good job straight off from the start.
Yeah, it'll hallucinate something. I mean, it won't come up with anything. It can't work from nothing, I think. So, look, last question. I like to ask a fluffy question at the end. What has inspired you recently? Have you read any good books or movies or podcasts you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, so one of my favorites that I like to listen to is How I Built This from Guy Raz, and it's because he talks to these consumer brands and the sort of their challenging journeys, and it was really exciting for me. Listening to one of the brands that we work with, listening to the founder talk about sort of his crazy story of how he came up with the idea for the brand and the trials and tribulations. And I just find it, you know, for all of us out there as founders, you at times want to be able to commiserate. We love to sort of talk about kind of the amazing things, but it's also, you know, it's great to kind of hear the challenges and be able to kind of rally around the experiences that we have. And so I enjoy listening to the podcast for that reason, you know, aside from the very sort of traditional, more SaaS ones that I love to listen to as well, to hear about all the people that I'm working with.
Cool. So I, do you know, once I went out for dinner with a friend of mine once, and I said, you know, I am the worst entrepreneur in the world. He went, no, Trevor, I am the worst entrepreneur in the world. And we had a big argument about it. And at the end, I felt a lot better. So, you know, so anyway, great. Look, Dan, it's lovely to speak to you. Where can people find you online if they want to?
Yeah, just go to dassey.com. You can find us online or find me on LinkedIn. Dan LeBlanc, and you'll find me at Dacity. Go find me on LinkedIn.
You have to spell Dacity.
Feel free to reach out.
How do you spell Dacity?
Absolutely. It's DAASITY.com.
Excellent. Great. I'll have to check it out myself. Look, Dan, let me just speak to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Trevor. Really enjoyed being here.
Thanks. Bye-bye.